It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey, Rose friends. Today I'm chatting with Carrie Bergs from the Greater Milwaukee Rose Society. Carrie is going to share about some of her favorite old garden roses that she affectionately calls her pink ladies. Hey, Carrie, welcome to Rose Chat.
Hi, Teresa. I'm so excited to be here on this beautiful day.
Oh, we're so glad to have you. Now, Carrie, soon garden season will come to a close in your part of the country. And I'm curious, in this very different year, how would you assess your 2020 garden experience?
My 2020 garden experience has been lovely, but it seems never ending since we have never left the garden. So it has probably gotten more attention this year than it has in any year in recent memory in the past. So I have to say I'm really looking forward to putting some of it to bed sooner than later. Pots and tomatoes and that kind of stuff. I'm ready to say goodbye. But the roses and that kind of thing will just continue with the same routine that we have for many years, and they'll get boxed up around Thanksgiving time and be put away for the long Wisconsin winter.
I would say that I've never been a real big fan of fall because it's things dying in the garden as opposed to things blooming. And I probably will always prefer spring. But having been in the garden every day, as you say, I can get into fall. I can do some pumpkin spice lattes. I'm ready.
And I am looking forward to the cooler weather. It has been a very warm summer here, particularly in July. So I am looking forward to cooler days and cooler nights. And I think the roses will be happier too.
I think so. Now, Carrie, you and Joe grow a lot of roses and all kinds of roses and many other flowers too. So tell us a little bit about your garden.
We are very fortunate to be gardening in a circa 1900 farm in southeastern Wisconsin in the Racine area, just about an hour's north of Chicago. And we're set on lovely 15 acres, and we have lots of perennial beds, some beautiful, beautiful old historic trees, a butterfly garden, a pumpkin patch, and of course, the prize of the property, which is our large rose garden, which has about 350 roses the last time I counted in it. Everything from shrubs to climbers and hybrid teas. We are not snooty when it comes to roses. We accept everything. and we love them all, and they're all beautiful.
They are. I've seen pictures of your property and it's simply beautiful. It's just like you look at the picture and it's you just relax. You see silos, you see beautiful fences, and it's just so, so pretty.
It is very, very rural and pastoral. So particularly with a pandemic going on, we, I think, have never been more grateful than to be here where you can easily social distance and where if I am tired of my husband, I can leave him at one end of the property and go to the other. So it has been
you can social distance even with your husband.
I can, even with my husband. Yes, sometimes it calls for that. But we've been very fortunate. So it's a lovely piece of property.
I know that you have an annual picnic for your Rose Society, and it is just a perfect setting for there. And Greg and I had actually planned to attend this year, but like so many things, it didn't happen.
No, I was so looking forward to having the Indiana gang come on up for the day. It would have been really, really nice. But there will be an opportunity next year, if I can just put a little plug in. The American Rose Society is having their national convention in Milwaukee next year in September, God willing, and if the pandemic is curbed at that point. And we will be on the garden tour for that national convention. So I would invite any of your listeners, you and your friends in Indiana, to please consider coming up. And we would be happy to show you our garden in person.
Oh, it just sounds so lovely, especially after not having gone anywhere this year. It's just extra special.
For sure.
So. Yeah. Oh, it is. Carrie, there's another part of the Rose World that you and Joe participate in, and that's exhibiting. Tell us a little bit about that.
Rose exhibiting, once you have caught the exhibiting bug, and I know that you are, not an exhibitor yourself, you certainly know many exhibitors. Once you have caught the exhibiting bug, it is very difficult to look at your roses as just a plant. They are, they're almost always like looking at somebody who might be in a beauty contest. And we enjoy exhibiting. I think exhibiting teaches you how to grow the very best roses. I firmly believe that. And there is nothing more fun than to exhibit roses that you have grown exceptionally well on your own. And when you're in a rose show with people who are of like mind, it really, really can be a very fun day, a very fun experience. And, you know, it's like with anything, dog shows or, you know, ballet recitals for little girls, or, I mean, it's a network of people that you really get to know and you really enjoy. And we have really missed that this year because we don't have our rose friends around
I
us.
Know.
We just have the roses.
So true.
And the friends to me are as important as the roses, really. So it's something that we enjoy together, which is a nice thing to do as, you know, for a husband and wife. And we, hopefully, we'll be back at it again
I've
next year.
I've seen you and Joe work in tandem as you get your roses ready, and many other couples, too, that I highly admire. And they just work in tandem, and they get these roses on the table. It's just an impressive thing. I can tell that people really, really enjoy it. I've done a little bit of exhibiting, and I like it. I understand. Haven't really gone all the way there. I'm probably working too many hours, that kind of thing. But it is fun, and it is impressive. And I don't know that I've ever heard anyone say a beauty contest quite as eloquently as you did, but that is very true. And another thing that I've noticed about gardening this year is while I take care of my roses and I enjoy my roses, that little extra oomph has been missing because no one's coming to see them. We've had a few little things and a few people who really wanted to come and just onesie twosies to come and see the garden, but it is something we love to share.
It absolutely is. And I will say that this year, while we have taken very good care of the roses, I am not fanatic about them. I am not out there deadheading. I'm not cutting back to the first five leaf bud that's on a cane that's bigger than a pencil. I mean, you know, we deadhead, and an older rosarian gave me some very good advice at the beginning of this summer. And she said, Carrie, this is a perfect opportunity to just let your roses be this summer. She said, as exhibitors, we fuss over them all the time. We cut them, we fuss them, we prune them, we fertilize, we do all of these things to them. And she said, if you just let them be this year, she said, they will regroup and they will come back better than ever next year. And so that's what we've really tried to do. I've really tried not to fuss.
I think that we all just kind of looked at things a little differently this year, and we all needed what the garden could give us, and whether we were given the garden everything we had, boy, the gardens really gave us a lot.
I think that is absolutely true. We always take from our garden, and this, especially our rose garden, and this year, yes, I just let it give to me. So that is a whole different way of thinking about things.
And June is, you know, that magical month in rose gardens, especially if you grow in our area of 5B, 5 zone. And June, it just really gave us a lot, and we needed it a lot. So tell us about your pink ladies.
Well, my pink ladies, I gave them, the pink ladies is a collection of old garden roses, which loosely defined are roses that were in existence before 1867, which is the year that the first hybrid tea came into existence or was discovered by the name of La France. So the old garden roses are roses that have been in this world for in some cases, centuries. I mean, back to Roman times. So they're called old garden roses, and they're also sometimes known as heirloom roses. And we have a collection of them in a dedicated raised stone wall bed that is adjacent to a barn. So they're in somewhat of a protected place, but they tend to be very big and sprawly. So we put them into their own separate bed. And I call them my pink ladies because they all have very highborn French sounding names. And I never can pronounce them quite correctly, and certainly not with any kind of a dashing French accent. So I just call them the pink ladies, even though some of them are named after men. They don't seem to mind. And the one characteristic, they're all different, of course, but the one characteristic really that all OGRs share is an outstanding fragrance. And that just is what drew me to them. That and the fact that they're in many shades of pink, which is my favorite color. But their fragrance is just, it'll knock your socks off when you walk by it, especially if it's on a breezy kind of humid day. I mean, you just feel like you could be in a French perfumery.
They're really beautiful. Ones? I know you have several, but what are your favorite ones? What would you suggest we grow?
I do. My very favorite, I think my very favorite, I'm going for size here. It's a rose by the name of Paul Neyron. It's a lovely sort of purplish rose pink. And the blooms can be 5 to 6 inches across. And my second favorite flower behind roses are, of course, peonies. And so this is as close as a rose as you get to a peony. And I think that's why I just love it. It's almost thornless. So when you're dealing with a big sprawly bush of Paul Neyron, you don't have to worry about those nasty thorns that are going to grab you everywhere. It has a slight damask fragrance. That is much heavier when it's warm outside. And it doesn't throw off a lot of blooms in our garden, but when it has the 2 or 3 or 5 that it is working on at the moment, you just will never see anything more spectacular. They're just beautiful. So that's my favorite. The next one probably would be, they call it Rosamundi, but its official name is R. Gallica versicolor. And it is a striped. It's a lovely, lovely pink and white striped. It is only a once bloomer, unfortunately. But in June, there is no more magnificent display than 5 of these bushes that are all clothed in pink and white striped blooms. The bees are flying in. The bees love that bush. And it just looks like they have draped a ball gown all around our rocked bed. And that is truly lovely. Very, very carefree, very easy. A great rose for a beginner. As I said, the drawback is that it only blooms once a year. But the other couple that I have, there's another one called Baron Prevost. And it is almost identical to Paul Neyron, except that it's a smaller bloom, sort of the same color, a medium pink. It's also a very, very good beginner rose because it just requires very little care. None of these roses really need to be sprayed. We do spray them because we can get powdery mildew or black spot in the hot, humid weather. But you don't have to spray them, and they don't need a lot of fertilizer, and they really don't need a lot of pruning. So they are as close to an easy care rose almost as you get, you know, if you have a knockout or a carpet rose or something like that. But anyway, Baron Prevost is a quartered rose. So it opens and there are 4 little quarters and it has the cutest little center and it just all looks folded in on each other. And that is a lovely, beautiful rose. Great to cut and put in a vase. It will smell up your entire kitchen or bedroom or wherever you choose to put it. And then the last couple that I love are one called Madame Isaac Pereire. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it correctly, but she's definitely one of my pink ladies, and she has classic old rose form and a fabulous scent. And she is my very favorite color, which is dark raspberry pink. She was named after the wife of a French banker, and she is very, very vigorous. I mean, she is just a solid little bush, and she blooms and blooms and blooms and blooms. And from June until we, you know, put her to bed probably in October. So she's just a very sturdy little workhorse in the garden. And then my last one is, and I even researched how to pronounce this. So there are several different ways to pronounce her name, but I'm going to pronounce it Sidoni. So she is a damask rose, medium pearly pink, I would say probably 3 inches to 4 inches across. She's got a lighter scent and a shorter growth habit, but she is so busy. She is so busy. She is always, always blooming and growing and then blooming and growing some more, to the point where I have to come in sometimes and correct her behavior firmly and cut her off, because otherwise she will take over the whole bed. She also grows on a pasture fence of ours, and she's rambling right up the top of the pasture fence. So in that location, I let her go. But when she's with the other pink ladies, I must insist that she behave. And she does, because she has no choice with my pruners. But she, those five roses are just so beautiful. Enchanted. If I could have a whole garden of nothing but those five roses, I would be content.
And all this beauty to your garden, you know, it's like, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? The problem is that some of these roses are difficult to find. You can't just run off to your local garden center and you know, order up a Paul Neyron. So I did put together a small list of where we have ordered our old garden roses from. And those would include 4 mail order nurseries by the name of the Antique Rose Emporium, Rogue Valley Roses, Heirloom Roses, and High Country Roses. So that's where we have purchased all of our OGRs from. And they will either come in the spring bare root, or they'll come in like a little newspaper pot. And they'll take a couple of years to get going. But they are sturdy roses. It is not easy to grow roses in Wisconsin. And most of the OGRs, you will find them rated anywhere, the zones, from some to zone 4, which is great. And then creeping into zone 6. So you have a whole range of them. And of course, just because they say, well, a rose will survive the winter in zone 5 doesn't necessarily mean it will. So we do take a little bit of added precaution with our OGR bed, and we use what's called a construction blanket. And a construction blanket is used, of course, in the construction world to keep concrete from freezing in the wintertime. Or if they're trying to lay pour a concrete bed or some such thing, they'll put the construction blankets down to keep the earth warm enough. So it's not providing any heat. It's really just providing the temperature that was in the ground when you covered them up, and maintaining that and keeping the wind off of them. And we just place 5-gallon pails or 5-gallon kitty litter buckets right down the center of the bed, put the concrete blanket over the top of it. It's about a 12 by 26 blanket. And then just anchor the sides down with stone. And the next spring, when we take that blanket off, the roses are right there, fully
where
green.
Where do you get the blankets?
With a huge head start. You can get the blankets. It depends on what R value you want. I've learned all of this. The R value can go anywhere from like 3, which is a lesser R value, I think all the way up to like 12. So our R value, which is how much protection they provide, are 7s. So we purchased those directly from a construction company that I just found online. You can get them at Menards, but they'll have an R value that's less. It's much easier than cones or boxes, and seems to work a little bit better than just soil mounding. So that's what we did last year. And all the pink ladies were happy as a clam to I always try and jump the gun because you'll get a couple nice days in March or April and you think, oh, I'm just going to peek. And then you'll see that they're starting to shoot out those, you know, kind of white shoots and you see they're really starting to go. And my husband always says to me, Carrie, put that back down. We cannot touch them. And really in Wisconsin, this is how challenging Wisconsin weather can be. We don't really want to take those off until the first part of May. So I just content myself with going out there and peeking at them. I mean, if we have a weather forecast where the Farmer's Almanac says, oh my gosh, spring is going to occur absolutely April 15th, we could be assured of that. We would definitely take them off. They are hardier than the hybrid teas. And in our location, they are protected from wind, which can be really damaging for new growth. But we typically leave them on, yeah, until the 1st of May. All of the OGRs, you know, have their own very different way of growing. A hybrid tea is lovely, and there are some differences between hybrid teas, of course. But, you know, we're looking for the big, high-pointed center, and, you know, your typical florist-looking rose with a hybrid tea. But the OGRs, their petals are all folded and placed, whether they're quartered or buttoned, that looks like a little upholstery button almost. I mean, they're just so unusual to really study them close up and to see how, while they're all roses, they're all so, so different.
Carrie, it's been so much fun catching up today. And thanks for all these tips on growing pink ladies in our gardens.
Well, I thank you so much for having me.
Friends, thank you so much for joining us for another Rose Chat. And until next time, we hope you are well, that you are safe, and that you're able to enjoy the garden world around you.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.